My text is in the Epistle to the Ephesians, and chapter 4, and verse 25. It's a searching verse, but it's there. And so we still have to look at it. We don't bypass verses that may be uncomfortable. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another. Now, shall I just go a little into the background, first of all? From verse 17 in this chapter, right up into chapter 6 and verse 9, we have a theme, a particular theme. That theme is broken up, however, into smaller sections, but it is one theme. And it is the theme of the biblical teaching of renewal. Now, I'm speaking of the biblical teaching of renewal. We have been talking about revival for some time, which is something that happens to the corporate body and where God intervenes in the history and the life of a single church, a group of churches, a nation. And that is something to be longed for and desired. But here we are talking about renewal. And renewal is really a personal thing, a very painful thing. In one sense, there is nothing very exciting about renewal. But in another sense, there's something very thrilling in following the path of renewal. We go into little details which are uncomfortable little details. And yet, they make us. Now then, we had first a subsection here, verses 17 to 24. You might say, well, how can I go through, not reading or preaching, but how can I go through all those precepts, all those commands and desires of God in my life? How can I go through them? How can I obey them? And then the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, gives us then to Paul, in that first section, verses 17 to 24 in chapter 4, the means whereby it's possible. Now then, we begin with a verse here, a word in verse 25, a very important word, because now we're launching out after having learned of the equipment. And it starts with that word, wherefore. Now, let's look at the other side of the wherefore, just for a moment to remind ourselves. Now, wherefore? Wherefore what? Well, knowing certain things. Knowing this, says Romans, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, here in this epistle, it says, put off the old and put on the new. It is not contradicting the other. They don't coexist together. What it's saying is, remember I reminded you last week, as if you had a grown man and he's acting like a little baby. You say, don't be a baby, be a man. Well, he's not a baby. You can tell by his size and the way he dresses and so on. He's not a baby, and yet he can act like a baby. So we tell him, don't be a baby, be a man. And that is what is being said here. You no longer belong to the way of the world. Let it not be even mentioned amongst you. Let it not be the case, because now you are new. And the key verse in that little section was, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You have a new attitude. Now take advantage of it. And that this is renewed daily. Now this personal renewal is thrilling, painful, searching, all this, and yet its results are wonderful. The Epistle of James that I read, and says, be ye makers of peace. Well, earlier on, when we're talking of the theme of revival, it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That seems to be the cradle always that God chooses to bless. And it's his prerogative when and how to bless. But now we go into the details. How can we be men of peace? How can we be such people? Well, it begins then with the equipment. Get the mind right. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Exercise your mind. Stretch your mind spiritually. Do you remember I gave a simple illustration last week, and I hope it helps. Imagine a factory or some kind of firm. There's a great building. There is a manager who is careless about the work, and everybody is careless, and they care not about the running of things. Then a change takes place. The firm was underwritten by Satan, and so the manager is completely quite happy to agree with the ways of Satan, and so were all the various departments. Now a change takes place. The man is converted. Now, without change of identity, the underwriters, no longer Satan, but God. So behind this firm now are all the resources of God. Now the manager is still there, so he walks in now. And this is what's happened to him. He's like a new man. He is a new man. He's the same person, but he's like a new man. So you can say, in a way, under new management. And the various departments are shocked. They were always having tea breaks, coffee breaks, and leaving work on their desk, and as all the kind of carelessness that you can imagine. And the dishonesty as well. But they find now, they say, he's not like he used to be. He's new. Yes, he is new. He is the same person, but he's new. He's put off the old man, and he's put on the new. And there is a radical change. Now, it'll take a lifetime of sorting out every department. A great deal of cleaning up, a great deal of discipline, a great deal of unpopular moves, a great deal of redusting even when you've got a room right. Nevertheless, the battle now is with the departments, not with the management. It is not a battle between the old and the new man. The old man is crucified. Put off the old man, meaning don't be a baby. Now, the new man is in charge. And he has all the resources of the grace of God behind him. Wherefore, that being true, what have we here now? A converted person, a person who has been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, a person whose sins are forgiven, yes, and who is new. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, creation. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about renewal. Renewal then goes into every department of life. So the battle is between the new man and the flesh. It will always be there. But there always should be a measure of victory in our lives. And as each weakness is revealed to us by our Lord, then we tackle it spiritually, and there should be victory. So we come to verse 25. That's the wherefore. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Now, why begin with a tongue? It's an amazing thing, isn't it? The section is introduced by the whereby we're able to do this. Realize what you are in Christ. Don't be a baby, be a man. Realize that you're under new management. You are as new and have the resources of God as you go cleaning each department up, or as you deal with every problem in the flesh. Now then, he begins with a tongue. Yes. We begin there a small member, but kindleth a great matter. So he begins there. It's very hurtful. It says in the illustration I'll come to in a moment regarding James, and we'll look at it. Now then, the place of weakness is the flesh. Now, I'll read you verses from Romans 7, verses 23 and 25. Verse 22, first of all, I'm sorry. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Something's happened to me, a radical change. I delight in the law of God, the new man, after the inward man. But I'm still in the flesh. I've still got this drag of what I am, everything that the flesh represents. Then he says, I find this problem. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, my renewed mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. I find that the flesh is making a battle against the renewed mind and against the new man. I find that there is a conflict here. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with a mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, here's the problem, the law of sin. Now, that is the area of conflict. So when you and I get problems as Christians, don't hide behind saying, that's the old man in me, and this is the new man, and it's a 50-50 little battle, and laugh it off. Don't ever laugh it off. That's only an excuse of sin. We have undergone a radical change. We are destined for glory. Our sins are forgiven. We belong to God. And we have now, this innermost being now is made new. And the old man and its attitudes and its ways is crucified with him. The warning in Ephesians is, don't behave as if the old man were in charge. He can never be in charge, but the flesh can be so bold. That's the trouble. The flesh can be so bold. Our old ways can cling to us. Sometimes we call it self, quite rightly so. Do you remember this hymn? This cruel self. Oh, how it strives and works within my breast to come between thee and my soul and keep me back from rest. How many subtle forms it takes of seeming verity, as if it were not safe to rest and venture all on thee. So does Satan do now. Remember now, the flesh is only the flesh. So if we sin, we have given in to the flesh. It's as low as that. It's as low as that. We have given in to the flesh. Now Satan as an angel of light, or Satan as a roaring lion, he chooses either according to the circumstance, will come, and he finds there, and he'll bring things to the flesh, and the flesh itself will lust and war against the spirit. So now we have this problem, and yet not a problem. Remember, what has the new man? He's in charge. Under new management, after all, he's the manager. And behind him, the underwriters and the above writers, God himself, and all the resources of grace. Now we have no sin, no excuse now to give in to the flesh, because we have the resources of God. So if anybody says, you know it's the old man in me, that's nonsense. You say to them, you gave in to the flesh, and yet you are new. And you have as much power as I have or anybody else has, because God will give you and give you and give you all that you need to overcome your particular problem. There is a radical change. So he's appealing here. Don't be as you were. You are new. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now the weakness, the place of weakness is the flesh. So when we have localized that and we have a problem, it's good to know the area of the problem. Don't you agree? It's good to know. So that when we fail and we go all depressed about it, instead of giving in to our depression, we say, well, I behaved like that because I gave in to the flesh. That's why I behaved like that. And then I realize, well, it's stupid and wrong that a Christian should behave like that and allow the flesh to rule when I am new in Christ and a radical change has taken place in me and the resources of grace are behind me? So now then, he takes us now into the area, a very sensitive one, the power of words. Wherefore, putting away lying, and speak every man truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another. Now the old life thrived on deception and the play of words. And what can words do? Words are amazing things. You can say one word about a person and you can destroy that person's credibility. Can't you? It's easily done. You may be a little jealous of a person, a little annoyed with them. You say one word and their credibility. We call it character assassination. Terrible, isn't it? Yet we can do it. This tongue is but a tiny member, and yet it can do so much. You know the kind of thing you might have as Christians, we would do it very carefully. Now you might say, well, a Christian would never say anything that's wrong. Why is it here then? You say, now look, you've lived so long in the old life, and the old man has ruled so long, and the flesh got on so well with him. Now that the new man is in control, you've got a lot to learn. That's right, isn't it? We've got to learn the way of heaven. And it's hard down here and in this flesh. We've got to learn the conversation, both in words and in way of life, of heaven. And so now we are expected now by the grace of God to show progress. All sorts of ways. Now then, there is one way, the obvious way is to tell a lie. I hope it is not so. It says in this part of Scripture, these things should not be so. Another way is to misrepresent a person. Another way is to harbor bitterness and antagonism of the mind. And when this person is mentioned, we know how to discredit them. Let me give you examples. Here are two. One, you say, well, I had a lovely time with such and such a person the other day, a person you might be saying quite happily and innocently. You're telling somebody else, and they say, oh, you did you? And you say, well, yes, well, is there something wrong? Well, and you may leave it at well, or add a word. And then you go away from that person's company and think, well, I must have been taken in. And for a long time, that person whom you admired is suspect. The tongue. Terrible. Terrible. And here's another way. The way I found quite often, actually. And it's rife through the whole of Great Britain. You go to a person and you're talking and you're praising somebody and you feel that really you are helped. And you're enthusiastic about it. And then the other person looks at you and says nothing. Because there's hatred in their heart. Nothing. And my heart so often has sunk. The tongue sometimes in its silence can lash like a whip. It is but a small member. And yet what terrible things it can do. Listen to how James says, well, think of a horse, he said. Where do we control a horse? In the mouth. Put a bit in his mouth. And you can guide his massive body in any direction you so choose. Control his mouth. Then a ship, he says. A ship is a great vessel. And can just go in any direction, and fierce winds can come against it. Yet a small rudder or helm can so control this tiny thing can so control that the direction of the whole ship is controlled, so also is the tongue, that it can so defile that it defiles the whole body, and it controls the direction of the total body and the direction of ourselves. Now that's why he starts with the tongue, because that perhaps is our most troublesome member. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, and it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Do you remember, it comes to me now, an illustration I gave to the children once, I think it was. It was a story about a school and about a little boy who was jealous of a new boy who was very capable at games and so on. And he was jealous of his abilities. And so he set this little boy up so he appeared as a thief. And he said he'd seen him steal. That was a story. The details of the story are a little bit vague to me. But it was a way where a little lad was misrepresented. And the teacher found out, and he called all the boys together. It was a few weeks before he found out. And he plucked a chicken. Took all the time to pluck a chicken before them all. Then he said, "Boys, I want all those feathers back." It wasn't a very windy day, but it was quite windy. Just a breeze. They got many feathers, but not all. And then he said, "There has been a lie," he said, "a misrepresentation of a little boy here. And I know the boy who told the lie is very sorry and full of remorse and will not lie again. But we will never collect all the feathers. They've scattered too far and too wide." That's why he begins with the tongue. You see it? That's why. And that's why, as Christians, when we begin upon the new life, we begin now with the control of this little member. Yes, there are times when we should speak and be truthful. And by not being truthful, we are actually lying. A clever way, but we are doing it. And there are times when we misrepresent or just give a shade or a little but and a little hesitation. Enough for the feathers to fly. Enough for a fire to be kindled. Enough for damage to be done. Enough for a character to suffer much unhappiness for many years, if not the rest of his life. But speak the truth. Now then, what are the means that we use for speaking? Well, I think today that this verse is more relevant than it was even in that time then. Well, you know, I'm saying that because of one reason. You actually had to face a person to present something that was unkind or untrue or misrepresenting. But today, one of the most dangerous instruments ever invented by man, I think, is in most of our homes, the telephone. How wicked those wires have often been. And how easy it is to spread so rapidly and so far. It's as if he saw a long way ahead and said, "Let's begin. You've been thrilled now. You had the knowledge that you are new in Christ. You had the knowledge that your sins are forgiven, that you belong to him, and that glory is your destiny. You had the knowledge now that you are a new man and that you can control the flesh. All right, you're enthusiastic and you're ready for the race. Let's get hold of chapter 4, verse 17. Let's begin to run now. All right, come to verse 25 and I'll run through chapter 4 and I'll run through chapter 5 and I'll run right through to verse 9 in chapter 6 until I hear of the spiritual battle. I will do this." And then suddenly we realize, had you got to start at verse 25, what a starting point. The tongue. Yes, we had to start there because we use it a great deal. Be makers of peace. Be makers of peace. The seed of righteousness is peace. Be makers of peace. Then to close, the path of works. There is individual responsibility, as I've just mentioned. Here we're just talking about words and the control of our tongues, which is really a manifestation of our attitudes. But it doesn't quite end there. And I've already hinted in my illustrations. For we are members one of another. We belong. You see it? We belong. Not only in this congregation here this morning, but in all born-again Christian congregations, we belong to one another. We belong. And so there is not only an individual responsibility between person and person, but there is also the responsibility of the members as well. Listen to how the verse goes. Wherefore, putting away lying, what shall I do? Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Now then, we come into speaking the truth. Do you remember I quoted a few times this verse in this context? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, we represent truth. That is, as far as the world is concerned, we represent the evangelical doctrines, the gospel of grace, the saving gospel, the way of salvation, the scriptures. We represent this and the experience of that in our hearts. The truth. And why then does he begin with a tongue? Well, I'll tell you, nobody is going to listen to me preaching the truth unless I am truthful. No one is going to take any notice of your witness or of my witness unless we are truthful. So the truth, capital T, about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Gospel, they never lose their credibility. But people are not going to listen to us speaking about them unless they see in us a renewed life. The tongue, having putting away lying with all its clever subtleties, and speaking the truth. Truthful people. Now, I'll use this illustration to close. All you who are electricians here this morning, I suggest that you literally switch off, because I am sure that somehow I might be responsible for somebody getting into much trouble electrically. But I found this from experience. When Christmas comes, we bring out our little Christmas tree and we bring out the little coloured lights. Pretty little things they are. Red and orange and yellow and blue and green and white and all the colours that they have. We've got little special ones now that are like little stars or candles or something. And they are delightful. Now, I'm not very good at these things, but I have learnt one thing, and I may be very electrically profound now, for all I know. So I've now placed them artistically, in my belief, around the branches of the tree. And there they are, and I have plugged in. And we haven't been cut off by the electricity board. And all is in order. And I have switched on. I come to the little switch that switches all these lights on. And I switch it. And of course, nothing happens. Why? Well, there can be all sorts of reasons, I'm sure. But there's one reason that I'm particularly concerned about now. One of those lamps is a dud, right? And I've got to go through them all to find out. You see what I'm saying? The light of all it's affected by the sparkle or the lack of one. That's what I'm saying. So any one of us, wherever we are, if we do not live this life, then people will say, even of a particular church, ah, yes, I have met somebody from there. As far as I'm concerned, there's no light. The lights are dimmed by one. We are members one of another. Do you see it? We are members one of another. Now, see the picture. It is as convicting for me as it is for you, and as hurtful for me to preach it as it is for you to accept it. So it means that we both have to have a great deal of grace to accept the word of God. Now, here it is then. We are born again. Our sins are forgiven. Our destiny is heaven. Our hope on earth is revival. Our path in life is renewal. To be renewed or have a renewed life, we must realize that we are new in Christ, the new man, and that we are in control, and that we can control the flesh. Yet the Bible grants us that this flesh will always be troublesome, and we'll always have to be dealing with one department or the other. So which will be the most troublesome department, and where shall we begin? He begins with the tongue. He begins with what we say, because we are all great talkers. He begins with what we say, and he says, come on now, come on. Put away lying in all its subtle forms, and speak truth one to another. And in so doing, you see, it is strengthening the credibility of the church as a corporate body, and your individual credibility in the place where you are. Let your light so shine amongst men that men may see your good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Hard, yet wonderful. Wonderful. And we become makers of peace. Oh, it's beautiful. Let's go home this morning, looking forward to the rest of the Lord's day, and bringing others gladly to hear the gospel. This is a path of life. This is a path of truth and of truthfulness, where once again we can be a salt of the earth and a light of the world. And we can spread even from our ranks integrity into society. Let's begin with ourselves and be makers of peace. And let's be realistic and begin with a tongue. Let us be without guile. You without guile? Do you want to be without guile? Then be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we all feel our lack so much, and they will crowd into all our minds our failings. That being so, O Lord, we have learnt. Then let us, Father, to realize that we are new in Christ, and that we are able to overcome. And that we are able to be not only proclaimers of the truth, but also people who are truthful and makers of peace. Amen.